coming year. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 8. Amen. And sometimes it just takes a minute. I got about 1,000 sermons on this iPad right here. And as you can imagine, sometimes trying to find teachings and sermons, trying to find your way through them just to find the right one. And it doesn't help when you couldn't remember what you titled it, but I figured out, it just clicked for me a second ago. So thank you, Lord. We're going to be able to preach this morning. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. If you'll go there and, title and messages, I was always warned, or well, I learned later on in ministry, every now and then you'll get a title and then you'll build a message, but a lot of times God will give you some content within your heart and then you come up with a title later. So that's kind of a lot of times how it happened for me. So titles don't always stick with me, and I'll make up the title as I'm coming to church. I know the content of the message or what I'm going to say, but there's some guys out there just good with titles. I can't say I'm one of them. Amen. Well, the title of this message today is going to be Firm Foundations for the New Year. Firm foundations for the new year, and I just want to kind of give you something to live upon for the next year of your life, and not only the next year of your life, but also as we're going forward. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, this is what it says. It says, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." I'm going to read that again, the only verse of our text today. "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before me, before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer today, we love you and we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. All that you do for us here today, we are nothing without you. We know that you're able to give us strength, God, able to help us minister today here in the service. God, we realize that as we're closing this year out, God, I can look back over my life and the life of this church and know that there's great things that you have done for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, but we're going into a new year. God, we need you to go before us, and we know that you will. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, Moses is now 120 years old. God said to that generation that received the law when Moses was there and he was leading them, if you remember earlier on, God told them that none of you will get into the promised land because of your unbelief, except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses, who is now, here in this passage, 120 years old. And we know the story about Moses. Long story short, he ended up not being able to go into the promised land. But was before they went into the promised land, there was a transition in leadership. What many commentators call this right here, they call this in the Bible transition chapters, where one leader is transitioning, leaving the scene, and another leader is coming on. So now here it is. It was time for Moses to pass the baton on to Joshua. And these are the final words that he speaks to his people. And he could well have spoken words of discouragement if he so decided. We know that Moses could have been somebody that it wasn't his character, I know, but he's not going into the promised land because of him smiting that rock there. I mean, getting angry, smiting the rock. But if you remember, he could have been somebody that could have gave discouraging words, but he was not of that nature. He still obeyed the Lord. Joshua and Caleb and the people would get to go into the land, but Moses would not. The final words that Moses speaks are those in these transition chapters. He speaks words of encouragement to them. He challenges the people to be encouraged in the Lord as they face a new life on the other side of the Jordan. So we look at this today, and I would have you understand that even though the children of Israel had failed God in the past, and even though that they needed to be reminded that even though they had failed God, the children of Israel had, that God would never fail them. And I would say to you today that I could echo those same words to you on this last Sunday morning of 2017, that even though at times humanity may fail God, God never fails us. And as we're going into a new year, I want you to be reminded of that today. Once again, what I have titled this is Firm Foundations for the New Year. And I have five layers of a foundation, so to speak, that I am going to present to you today that I believe you can live and dwell upon
on today as we're going into the new year. Let's look at the first layer of this foundation. And I would title this foundation, the Lord's person. Notice what it said there as I read to you in that verse. It says, and the Lord. And the Lord. Now you said, Brother Derek, that's a simple phrase right there. But when you begin to study that phrase right there, and the Lord, you begin to focus on him, that very famous capitalized word there, the Lord. You look at that word Lord there in the Bible, it is the name Jehovah. It is that word that is tied to the covenant that was given to the children of Israel right there, that God is Jehovah. He is their Lord. This is the God who had covenanted himself with the children of Israel. He had married them. He calls Israel his wife. How many appreciates the covenants of the Lord today? I'm glad to know today that we are living, as I've already mentioned here in the last several months, about we are living within the new covenant. We have a God that has covenanted himself with humanity, and we can trust him. Now, when you are studying the Old Testament, you always must be careful, because there are so many passages and promises of the Old Testament that are times that are distinctly promised to Israel and to Israel alone. But thankfully today, that verse that I read to you there in the book of Deuteronomy, it is one of those verses that applies to everyone. It goes to everyone in Scripture, anybody who serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would ask you once again today, or I would mention this today, that if you are, when I'm mentioning these different foundations, these are only foundations that apply to those who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ here today, I cannot give you much hope for the new year. I cannot promise you joy. I cannot promise you happiness. I cannot promise you strength. I cannot promise you comfort. I cannot promise you any. I can't even promise you the great hope of your destination. If you were to leave this world, your life is going to be uncertain. But if you are born again today, if you are serving the Lord, if you are in a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some foundational things that I can promise you. Now, I can't promise you everything that's going to happen to you this year as far as your circumstances, or who's going to be here next year, who's going to not, who's going to get in a car wreck and who's not. I can't promise you none of that. But I can promise you this: no matter what happens in your life, you have a Lord in heaven who is faithful to you. Notice here what it says in Deuteronomy 9:3. He says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God, the same word that I'm referring to, that Lord, the Lord thy God, is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. There again, we have that word Lord there. The Jehovah God is described as being before his people into the promised land. And then he even gives us a graphic description, and he says that our God goes before them as a consuming fire. And brothers and sisters, we can look in the New Testament and find that we have a similar promise as well. It says in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. I can promise you right now, brothers and sisters, that God, the Jehovah God, is going before you into the new year as a consuming fire. He is blazing a trail. He knows what you're going to face. He knows what is going to happen. Psalms 18:2, again, we look at that word, the Lord. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Brothers and sisters, once again, you're going into 2018. There's a lot of things that have taken place in our society. We look even this year, I begin to meditate on the different events that have taken place this year. There's been mass shootings within our country. There's been a church there, I believe it was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, where a gunman came in and killed a pastor, the majority of his church, women, men, and children. We look at all these uncertain times. We're living in difficult times. But I can promise you this. Here's a foundation for you, that Jehovah is your rock, that Jehovah is your fortress, that Jehovah is your deliverer. He's your God, your strength. You can trust him. He's your buckler. He's the horn, the very strength of your salvation. and He is your high tower. That is a foundation that you can live upon going into the new year. Says in Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord, the name Jehovah, is a strong tower, and that the righteous runneth into and is safe. Aren't you glad today that you have that promise? I can't promise you anything about the economy. I can't promise you anything about your job. I can't promise you anything about your health. But I can promise you this, that God will go before you, and He is a strong tower, and God is going to be with you. The second layer of this foundation is, I want to talk to you about the Lord's person, but I want to talk to you about the Lord's precedence. Now, that word precedence gives us the thought of the Lord preceding us and going before us. I read to you earlier in our text that it says in verse 8 that he it is will go before thee, that He will go before us. That is the way that God operated with the children of Israel. Listen to Exodus 13 and 21. And the Lord God went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. Notice what it said there. It says, and the Lord, once again, capital letters, Lord there, Jehovah went before them day and night. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you can go in tomorrow and the rest of this year knowing this, that God has went before you not only during the daytime, not only when the sun is shining, but when the moon is in the sky and the stars are there and the darkness is upon the face of the earth, that He will go before you. I would ask you right now, look into your past. Has He not always went before you? You may not have seen everything that was coming. You may not have understood what was going to be there. You may not have wanted some circumstances to happen, but you cannot deny the reality right now that God went before you and He took care of you and He was able to help you in your times of distress. I mentioned this yesterday at the funeral as well, but God lives in what we call the eternal now, which means there is no past, present, or future. God just exists in the now. When God tells us to remember, He's telling us that for our sakes. Even the Bible says God remembers. It's not like He ever forgot. But there are terms that help us to relate within our humanity. But when God looks right now, the God that we have worshipped this morning, the gods in whose words we have read this morning, when God looks, He sees everything in front of Him, past, present, and future. There is, He lives in what theologians call the eternal now. There is no distinguishing in time with Him because He is God. What's so wonderful about Christmas? He entered into time. He never had to do that before. He never had to surrender Himself to time before. But notice this today. God has already looked at 2018. He knows if there's going to be a terrorist attack. He knows if you're in this room today, if you're going to die this year. He knows that. He knows every doctor visit that you're going to have. Not only that, He even knows about your family. He knows about Abundant Life Tabernacle. He knows the plans of the enemy. Can there be any more encouraging words right now that the God that loves us, the God that sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that He lives in the eternal now, and that 2018 is already written down in His foreknowledge, and there's nothing that can take Him by surprise? And if you serve God and live in an intimate relationship, it doesn't have to knock you sideways or take you by surprise. Why is that? Because God already knows what's happening in 2018. He knows what's happening forever. He's God. He knows the temptation that's going to come your way. He knows the snares of the enemy. He knows if there's going to be any failures in your life. He knows everything about you already. He has seen everything. I like what one writer said about this. Please do listen. He says, God has already seen everything that we're going to face, and He has sprinkled it with sufficient grace and strength so that you can make it. He's already sprinkled grace on 2018 for you. What you feel like, just remember that. But next year or this coming year, I promise you there's going to be a day of your life where you're not going to feel the best. You're going to have a headache, I promise, sometime or another. Something's going to happen. You're going to be driving up and down the highways. There's going to be car wrecks. I hope nobody in this room. There could be a potential diagnosis of a sickness. There could be all of these things. There could be the death of a loved one. Whatever it is, God's already seen it. And when that event happens in your life, if it does happen, remember that event has already been sprinkled with grace and strength for you to make it. God has seen it coming. Didn't I give you encouragement that God already knows? I thought something was well said by that pastor there in Texas. He was being interviewed on the news there, and I don't remember which channel. It may have been a live interview where several channels picked up on it. And they asked him a question. He said these words right here. He said, just fall into God. I thought, what better way to describe an event when you can't rationalize it or you don't understand? Just look how big God is and just fall into Him. Just jump into Him and know that God has already seen it coming and that there is sufficient grace because God has already went before us. That is the second layer of this foundation. He has already had precedence. He's went before us and He knows what you're going to face. The third layer of this foundation is the Lord's presence. Listen, He said in that verse, He will be with you. Now, isn't that amazing? We get excited about Him going before us. But not only is God before us, He's with us and He's in us. Listen to this promise that He gave to Moses, and let this be a declaration in our own hearts this year. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor, found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. This is Moses speaking to God, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. 2018, here's a foundation for you. His presence is going to go with you. As you cross the threshold tonight and you enter into a new year, His presence is going to go with you. And He said, I will give thee rest. Aren't you good to know today that a God in heaven realizes this, that we as humans, we need rest. When Braxton was first born and he had that milk allergy, that's what they called it. And like I said, now he's eating cheese and chocolate and everything else. He's hanging in there. We gave him a good test, and he's passed it, all right. I don't even think I'm going back to the doctor. But I noticed this, the very first 4 months of his existence, it was a long 4 months. January of last year, that milk allergy, which means, and there's some parents in here could relate, I'm not trying to make it seem like the worst case scenario it was for me. Man, I realized something. You don't get sufficient rest. It affects you. You get a little, you can get irritable just a little quicker. And your perspective is not always the best. And you sleep in that recliner and you're just sitting there and say, man, I wish he'd go to sleep. And you're laying there and there's been a few times you look over and say, just sleep. Please just sleep. I realized something. I needed some rest. I remember the very first night he slept through the whole night. I remember rolling over. Can I confess to you? I slept to 9 o'clock one morning. Don't judge me. I'm not a lazy pastor. Don't vote me out. I'm sorry, okay? I slept into 9, all right? And I'm still serving the Lord. I repented. Everything's okay, all right? I slept into 9 o'clock. I remember looking at Holly. It was either the first or second day. I said, this is wonderful. It gives you a new perspective on life. We didn't get a new mattress or anything or a new house. We just had a baby that went to sleep and we could go to sleep. God knows that you need rest, not only physically. He knows you need it spiritually. And a lot of times the spiritual will affect the physical as well. God goes with us and He will give us rest. I like what Moses goes on to say in verse 15. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Couldn't it be a wonderful thing to say today, God, that if you don't go with me to 2018, can you push pause? I don't want to leave this service. I don't want midnight to come tonight. I don't even want 2018 to get here if you're not going to go with me. I want Him to go with me. It's like that old preacher. I read this. It's been a long time since I read it. But it came time for the service to start. And I forget the name of the preacher. He was a famous minister of yesteryears. And he was sitting there, and the pastor opened up the service, and he was looking around for the guest evangelist. And he couldn't find him anywhere. So he called his son up to the pulpit. He said, son, he said, brother so-and-so was in the office. He said, go check on him. And the little boy went to the office door, and all he could hear was this, I'm not going. I'm not going. I felt like that a time or two. I've been pretty nervous and stuff over the years. And the little boy came back to the pastor and said, he's not coming. He said, how do you know? He said, I heard him praying and saying it. I'm not going. He's talking to somebody, Daddy. So the pastor went there to the door of the office. And he heard the man say, I'm not going. He could hear it faintly. He opened the door and he said, the man was still praying. And he was telling God, I'm not going unless you go with me behind that pulpit. And you may agree or disagree, but that man had changed my life. I forget which missionary it was, but he was a man that was so utterly dependent on the presence of God in his life that he did not even want to get in the pulpit unless God went with him. I would say to you today, not only go with us next year, Lord, go with us on Monday, go with us on Tuesday. Let that be the prayer every morning of your life. God, I will not go unless you go with me. Moses is now passing the torch to Joshua, but the promise remains. It's a new worker, but the same promise. Listen in Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Listen to verse 9 of Joshua 1. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God is with you in the new year. That's why I appreciate hearing testimonies from Brother Glenn. So I appreciate hearing testimonies in the church, because if God was with Brother Glenn, he can be with me. He can be with you. Why is that? Because he's the same God. Maybe new worker, maybe a new pastor, but guess what? It's the same promise. He will go with us. When we look at the life of David and Solomon, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, Jehovah God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. David was letting his son Solomon know, God's going to be with you. He's going with you into this new process of your life. I look at this application in the New Testament, and please understand what I do say today. In reality, we know the presence of God in a greater sense, in a more intimate way than Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon. You have the Holy Ghost now residing within you. And when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're in Him, filled with the Spirit, born again. And you can say today that He is with you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He's going with us into the new year. I'm excited about that. I get a little nervous every now and then. I look around, I'm a pastor, I've got goals. How many knows this life is short? It is. I've been reading a lot about church growth and good solid readers. I ain't talking about just the new fangled mess. I'm talking about solid men that have been successful and have produced successful pastors, and trying to deal with the cultural issues of the day. How can the church be relevant without compromising? And guess what? I feel the pressure today. I look around. I wanted more people to get saved this year. I did. I wanted more people to get filled with the Holy Ghost this year. I've seen some people leave. I didn't want to leave. And it's nothing that you did other than tell the truth or love God and try to love them. I'm trying to tell you today, what I'm saying is this. I want some things to happen. I feel the pressure. My life is short. I've been serving God already 10 years. And you said, Brother Derek, that's not long. It'll be 20 before too long. Then it'll be 30 if God lets me live. All of a sudden, if you're not careful, one of the greatest, I've read the deathbed testimonies of preachers, and I begin to look at those testimonies, and a lot of them would say things like this: your ministry is shorter than what you think. You don't have time to try to make everybody happy or do this a certain way. You've got to pray, do the will of God. Why? Because your ministry is short. You can't sit there and do everybody else's opinion and ministry. You've got to do what God's called you to do. But I get nervous. I don't want anybody ever to be mad at me. It's impossible. So what do? I cry like a baby. I tighten my boots up. And I say, God, you're with me. If I fast and pray and seek the face of God and stay full of the Holy Ghost, I know you won't mislead me, even if somebody else were to think so. I'm trusting you, God. You are with me. Just a little personal view inside the heart of a pastor. That's my comfort. He's with me. And if something were to happen, God forbid, a church would split or somebody would get mad at you, I can still say God would be with me when I'm doing His will. How many would say amen to that? He would do it for you as well, not just a minister. Listen to this testimony I heard from a woman named Jacqueline. She was an elderly woman who lived to take care of her daughter who was wheelchair bound. Her daughter got sick and died. So Jacqueline not only lost her purpose, she lost her purpose for living, but she lost her only living companion. In her little cottage in the country, she seemed empty as the cottage, and occasionally a friend would call or a note would drop through the front door, but she felt so alone. She spent those oppressive long days in ongoing solitude. Her health was bad, so she couldn't go to church faithfully. And her best friends, most of them, were all now in heaven. But one day, Jacqueline opened her Bible to Philippians 4 and 5. And four words struck to her forcibly. It said that the Lord is near or close to her. She thought to herself, well, if he doesn't feel very near right now, it must be that if he is near, I should be more aware of his presence. I'm going to go ahead and stop there and tell you this today. You may not think he's near. That's not the case. You're just not aware of how close he really is. She said to herself, she prayed one day and she said this, Lord, I'm going to pretend. No, forgive me. I'm not going to use the word pretend. There's no pretending to be done. God, you're right here beside me. You are near to me. That evening she retired to bed. She looked over beside her and said, Lord, I'm going to bed now. Would you please watch over me as I sleep? The next morning she looked over. Good morning, Lord. This is the day you have made. She sat down for a hot tea. She read through Philippians again, underlining those words, the Lord is near. Then she prayed aloud for a very long time. And at noon she prayed to God, now, Lord, let's watch the news on television so we know what we need to pray about today. That day she accounts that she and the Lord watched the news together. Then she prayed for the flood victims in the Delta, a newly installed president in the African country, for a man sentenced to life imprisonment. And then at the end of supper in the evening, she bowed her head, thanked the Lord for food, and she said, I didn't feel like my prayers were traveling up to heaven. I felt like they were going right beside me. Her life changed. Her mood changed. And what A.W. Tozer calls it is this. She was practicing the presence of God, which means she's always looking for Him to be there. Look, brothers and sisters, you don't have to maybe set out an extra plate or anything, but I would tell you this, to know that God is always beside you. Practice His presence and know that He is there. The fourth layer of this foundation, I'm moving forward, is the Lord's promise. Listen to these words. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. How many appreciates that? I hope there wouldn't be an arrogant soul in this building who would say, I will never fail you. You can't ever say that because your intentions may be not to fail, yes. But humanity will fail humanity. It happens all the time. I would say something like this, by the grace of God, I'm not going to fail you. With the help of the Lord, I'm not going to fail you. But I would never look at you and say, it's impossible for me to fail. God can say that. I would look at you and say, look, I could never look at you and say, I will never forsake you. I will always be here until eternity's end. I would never be so arrogant. But God can say that. My mind went instantly to Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What is he saying there? I'm going to be with you. I'll never fail you, and I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love the Amplified Version, which is not a new version of the Bible. It is a paraphrased version, which sometimes bring out the original language very well. Listen to how it interprets Hebrews 13 and 5. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. He said, I will not. I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Does that encourage anybody else today? That in 2018, He will not fail me no matter what I face. David Livingston, the famous missionary who blazed a trail in Africa back in the days, said this, I was endued to go on because I had the word of a perfect gentleman, never known to break a promise that He would be with me always. Can I tell you today that God is a perfect gentleman who will never, ever, ever break His word. The last layer of the foundation is this. The fifth layer of the foundation is the Lord's peace. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God wouldn't tell you to fear not lest there was something to fear. I guarantee in 2018 there's going to be a few things in your life potentially that's going to cause you to fear within your own heart. But the Bible tells us, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have time to go over it, 366 times it alludes to the fact of don't fear or fear not. As many writers say, that gives you one for every day of the year and one for the leap year. You do not have to fear. You can stand. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be that when you come nigh unto the battle, and the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and they shall say unto him, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto a battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. Brothers and sisters, the enemy's in the new year. The devil is plotting and scheming for your life right now. But I can tell you this right now, fear not, neither be dismayed. In closing today, I want to point out something real quick, real fast. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, I read that to you, it's where we got our text from. But interesting about the rest of that chapter is this. God tells them, number one, He says, look, you know, I'm going to go with you as a person. I'm going before you. I'm going to be with you. You know, I'm not going to forsake you and all these things. But then the rest of the chapter, He goes on and telling Moses and Joshua how the children of Israel are going to rebel against them, talk about them, and reject them. Encouraging, right? You're going forward, Joshua, but God told me to tell you they're going to talk about you, they're going to spit upon you, they're going to reject you, they're going to drag your name through the mud, they're going to misrepresent you, misinterpret you, misunderstand you, all those things. But just remember all those nice things that I just said to you. I'm going to tell you this, in 2018, somebody's going to reject you. It's possible that somebody's going to talk about you. It's possible that something's going to go wrong. I almost could promise you that something's going to go wrong somewhere. You might have to get a new set of tires. Your wash machine might go out. You might get in a fender bender. You might get in a car wreck. You might get a sickness. We just don't know. There's an unknown future to us, but not to Him. Stand to your feet all over this church. Amen, amen. Even though Moses and Joshua had that promise, all was not going to be easy or well. But the Lord did give them those foundations. You ready? The Lord's person, the Lord's precedence, the Lord's presence, the Lord's promise, and the Lord's peace. Brother Derek, what do I do in those times of tragedy? Remember these foundations. If you don't have a good foundation, you're not going to make it. You're not going to stand. There's been some current studies that are being done on the new church age is what they're dealing with. And like I said, all the studies, I can't remember the title of it exactly. But it's dealing with the fact there's a lot of people that do not have firm foundations. They live complete. We live in a what we call an emotionalism generation where everything is about emotions. Our gospel has become about our emotions. What we think we should be as a Christian is all about our emotions. And you hear people say stuff like this all the time. Well, I feel this way and I don't feel that way and I don't understand. And the whole time they're forgetting that they have a foundation that they're standing on that is greater than their emotions. You got to get deeper than that, church. Can I encourage you this new year? I'm about to close. We're about to pray and we'll let you go and we'll come back tonight. But can I encourage you this year, go deeper in God? With everything you can do, can you run as fast as you can from shallow Christianity and the weakness and just the frailty of some of these experiences? Move into God and understand He's a firm foundation. I've told my wife several times, and she kind of gives me a hard time. Anytime I'm, you know, this year I went to Haiti. There was another time she had to go see her parents without me. I wasn't able to go. And every time she's leaving without me, I says, look, if something happens to me, and she's, why are you going talking about all that mess? I said, well, if something happens to me, I want you to understand this, and I understand it. Who wants to talk about dying? It ain't my favorite subject to talk about all the time. But I've told her many times, I said, if something did happen to me, you don't have one bit of excuse to backslide, to get mad at God, to give up, or to even feel like God's done you an injustice. He said, Brother Derek, when somebody's hurt, you shouldn't say, well, I'm not dead right now. I'm talking to her and I was letting her know. I've even told other elder ministers, and I don't know if I ever told her this. I said, look, if something happens, encourage my wife and remind her that God is in control. Because, you know, I say that to her, but guess what? That applies to me as well. It's been a few times I got down and prayed. I said, Lord, what if something, you know, I'll read something in the paper, hear something on the news of a family dying, children and wife dying, and the husband left there trying to put all that together. But you know what? If something did happen, God would have never done me wrong. Why is that? Because of His person, His precedent, His presence, His promise, and His peace. I have no excuse to get mad at God. Brother Derek, how can we stand on these firm foundations? You don't have to use this outline by no means. But read the Word of God. Read the Word. The devil hates it when you quote Scripture. The devil hates it when you know your Bible. He knows that Bible's deeper than your emotions. If he can give you to live on emotional Christianity, he will, because he knows it's shallow. But he hates when you know that Word and you've got a prayer life. Go into this year knowing that you're going to do more praying and more reading than you've ever done before. Firm foundations for a new year. God's going to help you. God's going to go before you. Right now, can we commit our year coming up to the Lord? Can we do that right now? Everybody that would, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as I have presented the Word today, God, I would right now, God, that you would make it a reality for every heart that is here. Jesus, God, these are firm foundations for the new year. You're going to go with us. God, right now, there's some right now that are looking at tomorrow with fear in their heart. But God, you're with us. You're with us. Great is thy faithfulness. God, you are with us. You are able to keep us. You are with us. God, you're going before us. You're beside us, Lord. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be dismayed. God, we commit 2018 to you right now. God, help us overcome every obstacle, every tragedy. God, I would that we'd read your Word, that we'd fall in love with the Bible, Lord, that we would love praying and talking to you. God, let it be. Let it be. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it be right now, Lord. Let it be. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many wants to be faithful in this new year? I want to be faithful in this new year. God's going to be faithful. I know that. But be faithful as well. God knows, He sees, and He cares for us. I love you today. I appreciate you. Tonight, we'll come back at 6 and we'll finish out the year. You ever heard of a watch night service before? We're not doing one tonight, don't worry. But back home, it's when you come to church about 9 or 8 and you just pray and sing and preach until about 12 o'clock and you go home about 1 in the morning. And I've been around one church where they go home at 3 in the morning. We'll just be here at 6. We're making it easy for you tonight, so don't worry, don't fear. I want you to have a blessed new year. Enjoy your afternoon. God bless you and have a good day.